The Fearless Podcast, in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. All right, y'all. Welcome back to the Fearless Podcast. This is episode 55, and we've been on somewhat of a hiatus. We are incredibly busy. Tis the season. And we're doing stuff with our cows, and the boys have been busy doing construction jobs. And so we're a little bit pressed for time. And so we apologize for slacking and whatnot, but know that we're not slacking. But anyway, I'm incredibly excited today. When me and the boys were down at the Exit and Build Land Summit, I met a really awesome guy. He gave a speech. It was very interesting and inspiring. So while we were there, I asked him to come on the Fearless Podcast, and I want to introduce y'all to Hakeem. Hakeem is from Above Phone, and we're going to talk about solutions. One of the things we like to create awareness, but I think what's just as important as awareness is solutions. So we're going to be bringing you a solution today. I hope you hang out and listen to what we have to say. Hakeem, welcome to the Fearless Podcast. How you doing, brother?
Thanks, man. I'm doing great. It's a pleasure to be here at TD. And I think I always like podcasts like this because you guys are actually on the ground meeting up in person and just connecting. So yeah, super excited to be here.
Yeah. And what we started doing is doing a local meetup. So we actually meet once a month trying to create some parallel economy, parallel community. That's why I'm really excited about your product. This is a major issue. And I think most people aren't aware of how significant of an issue it is. So I thought that's why I wanted to have you on. Maybe you could give us some education and some awareness, but let's start with maybe your origin story. Like so you're in this kind of cell phone space, and how did that happen?
Well, yeah. So before we started this company a long time ago, almost a decade now, I was a software engineer. And when you're in school for software engineering, you were taught that the highest point of a career would be working at Facebook or Apple or Google and all these things. And so all the kids had aspirations to go that direction. And I did too, right? Because that's what I was told. And then along the way, I had a long corporate career. I did web and mobile applications, any things I could get and my hands into. And I think my biggest downfall was that I was too ambitious. And so I got to see what was happening behind the scenes, how they were treating people's data. And it was just kind of, something felt off. And it took me a really long time to figure out the real power in technology. Like when we were learning how to build applications, when we built a Twitter clone, for the first time, I was like, wow, there's tremendous power in bringing people together using technology. And it took almost like another 6 years for me to meet Derek Bros, who was at Exit and Build, to meet John Bush, and for them to pull me in and be like, hey, do you want to help build tech infrastructure for the Freedom Cell Network? And so I helped them out with that. And divine timing, I guess. I started helping out in 2019. The very next year was the pandemic. And we got to see the House of Cards just fall right in front of us. I was living in New York City at the time, so I was like in the thick of it, right? I still had my corporate job there. I was helping out Freedom Cells. And I realized, like, I don't want to stay in the city helping build the prison around myself. So I did a really crazy thing at the time. I quit my job. I moved back home. And, my friends in New York City, they were making like $500,000 in salary every year. I was back to, starting from square one, working with the Freedom Cell Network. I had to make a sacrifice because this is what I believe in. And it was through the Freedom Cell Network and through the conference, the Greater Reset Conference, I saw what when you build solutions that bring people together and you unite us under a single cause, that's where that's where the real solutions are. And I quickly had to figure out, what am I going to do in this new space? And one of the things that made itself readily apparent is that there are a lot of people that want to attack freedom movements, right? From many unexpected places. We had like Chinese hackers trying to hack into our sites all the time that I had to defend and to just keep a close eye on. And then people would try and shut the conference off like literally days before. They would like flood us, spam us with requests so that no one else could see the website. So, you know, I imagine it being like like 2 a.m. the day before. I'm like sweating in like a tiny bedroom in Mexico, like trying to fix it. And, you know, you're just like, all right. So if there was just one person they're targeting, if there's one movement they're targeting, it's the freedom movement. And so I built this company around giving people the education and the devices they need to take back their power.
That's awesome. And, you know, it's interesting because we recently just experienced a little bit of this in a less of a way. But, you know, because of all the shadow banning and everything that we've been dealing with, we developed our own website as a way to kind of like monetize and fund what we were doing, and also to bring people awesome products and all this stuff. And so we've had our website and our products for probably about 4 years now. And just roughly a month ago, we have our website with Squarespace. And just a month ago, their only card processor is Stripe. And a month ago, they said, oh, hey, we can no longer process your payments. And we were like, what? And we have all the memberships and, you know, we had different types of renewable, passive type of income stream through. Yeah. And so when they debanked us, all of that passive membership income went away. And now I'm in the process of redoing our website and doing it on a open, like a WordPress platform, and then bringing all this stuff in to try to galvanize and bulletproof it. So that way we can be a little more nimble with plug and plays and stuff. So that's why I think this whole phone thing, because everybody does everything on their phone. And for all of us that are in a professional space where, like me, for my job in construction, there's like 20 apps that I use on a daily basis to facilitate my job and to manage these projects and to communicate back and forth. And so I've always been saying, oh man, this iPhone, I want to chuck it in the trash. But because of my job, I really can't do that. And so then when we met at Eggs and Billet, I was like, hey, can you do this, this, and this? And you were like, yeah. And I'm like, wow, well, this is a solution for a lot of people that, unfortunately, hey, wouldn't we all like to unplug and live in the middle of some tropical food forest and not have the internet and not have all these things, which, you know, maybe that's the ultimate goal. But while we're before we get there, you know, we need solutions. And I think it's really awesome what y'all are doing at Above Phone. Maybe we could kind of get into that and talk. Maybe we could talk about what is currently going on in the cell phone industry, what these vulnerabilities are, and maybe what some solutions are.
Absolutely, man. And I love the way you said that. We need something to hold us over, right? As we're constructing the fort, we're constructing our new civilization, we're strengthening our family bonds. And in the meantime, we just need to do, you know, we need to keep it tight and not have any leaks. And unfortunately, like normal phones have a tremendous amount of leaks. So there are a lot of leaks that can happen with technology. And since these phones are loaded with sensors and, you know, more and more sensors every generation, which we can talk a little bit about some of the things that Apple is doing with their Vision Pro headset. But so they have like a microphone and a camera. And realistically, these things are going off all the time. You know, with an iPhone, you can see this. Anyone, if you have an iPhone, you have Face ID on it. You can use an infrared camera to see it snapping every 5 seconds when you have the screen on and it's pointing towards someone. So it's taking infrared pictures of your face and also your surroundings, right, to make your facial map, to log you into your phone. If you turn on, you know, the Face ID, that's on by default. But the scary part is when there's 7 billion phones out there, almost one for every human, and these two companies can roll out software on either of their platforms, right? So they roll out software to 99.9% of people out there. At the same time, that changes, it transforms the way that people interact with each other, right? Like when Google and Apple Pay was released in 2000, what was it? I want to say like either 2016, it only took a few years for those payment methods to become half of all digital payments. Like, that's crazy. Similarly with like the contact tracing stuff, right? They just roll that out to all the phones at once. And so that's the real danger, is having these centralized big tech services in your phone. And I have some different articles we can talk about.
Yeah. And then there was also this recent iPhone, I think the iOS update that made it more ubiquitous with Google or whatever. And they're saying that this is like another major privacy breach, where just everything is wide open and easily accessible. And I think it's very important to recognize the fact that with all these freeware and free apps and all that stuff, is, I don't know who coined the phrase, but they said, when the product is free, you're the product. And that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, 100%. And so, yeah, the story you're mentioning. So Apple has joined the AI bandwagon 100%. I think they kind of had like cold feet at first. They were probably, everyone and their mother is trying to develop solid large language models like OpenAI, right? It's what most people are referring to when they say AI. It's like you can talk to it, it tells you all this information back. And so Apple is going full speed ahead and integrating it with a Siri, iPhone, all of Apple's products are going to have OpenAI inside of it, ChatGPT inside of it, excuse me. And so that is scary, because there's some of the things that, like, what these AI companies are doing is trying to open themselves up to as much training data as possible. And they're able to make their AI models better and faster and have knowledge over great amount of information. So imagine if Apple and Microsoft, which owns OpenAI, has this deal where they're sharing data between each other. How much of that data is actually coming from iPhones? How much of that is like your day-to-day life? Now, we can't really tell, but we can look at Apple's track record and see what they've been doing with people, what they've been doing with people's data. And more often than not, they're capturing so much more data than they need. And they have these huge surveillance databases as well, that any party that has jurisdiction over Apple, such as the United States government, other governments from other countries, intelligence agencies, all these people have an inside look at what you're doing on your phone.
This is what's fascinating to me about this whole surveillance state and all of this data capture with these mega data centers and the electrical components and the heating and cooling components of these things. And then as they exponentially ramp up the amount of this data that they continue to capture, I'm waiting for this like brick wall that they're going to hit. You know, they're trying to take our food away from us, you know, cows fart, so we can't eat meat. You know, we need to eat bugs and we can't burn wood because of the, you know, CO2 and all these different things. Meanwhile, the deep state is allowed to have these mega servers that use just like, we can't even fathom how much energy and even water they're using. And it really makes you wonder how will they be able to continue to scale? And it really, you know, it really makes you feel like it's going to be this matrix thing where we're batteries for the central processing unit or something, because how else are they going to be able to even make this thing work? It's very bizarre.
Rules for thee and not for me. Hey, you guys, you got to take your bike to work. Oh, this data center over here that's literally taking all the water from the state. Don't worry about it. It's absolute insanity. And you know, it's like I really appreciate farmers and people who are like creating products with their hands, like you are. And I think you can always look across the pond, like to the UK, Australia, to see what is coming from the tyrannical state. And you know, we're seeing reports of them. This health agency is going out to chicken farms and culling all of the chickens. And so that really scares me. We've seen them doing it with the honeybees. So we're quickly moving into a time period where if you want healthy, natural foods, you need to make sure you are communicating privately. You're communicating privately in that aspect. And so I do have if you want to bring it up now, I do have some slides that I can show, and I'll invite you back on and we could discuss some of these stories. But I think these are super, super important, right? Just understanding what could happen if you use these big tech ecosystems. So number one is you could lose all of the data you've invested or you've put into your account, right? Because if you use Apple or Google, you're using your central account, this Google account or your Apple ID, and everything you purchase occurs is saved on there, right? Your apps, your music, your games, other products, everything is saved in that account. And what ends up happening is if you break Apple or Google's terms of service, or even if you get your phone stolen, you can be locked out of all of that at one time. So this man named Greg Fasca of Florida, and last year, he had this issue where he got his phone stolen at a bar and they changed his Apple ID password. So he got locked out of his phone. And so Apple closed down all of his accounts. Now, he didn't care about the music or movies or apps or anything. What was important to him was pictures of his daughters back when they were 8 years old. So the sentimental value of his photos. And he tried everything he could to get Apple to release them. You know, he showed up to Apple's headquarters with his passport, like, hey, this is me. Please give me my, you know, please give me my data back. But no, Apple never did. So it's just a case of like, when you're using their systems, is it your data? Who owns your phone, really?
Right. Exactly.
Another story that I think you're going to care about personally, because I know you do a lot of work with families, is this story where anyone using Google Photos or Apple Photos, for that matter, or many big tech photo site is likely to do this, but Apple and Google for sure, is they're automatically scanning your images for child abuse material. So they aren't necessarily required by law, but they are moving forward and scanning everyone's images using AI. And in this case, this couple from San Francisco, they took a picture of their son who had a rash on his private parts. And this was during COVID, so they couldn't go out to the doctor. So they had to use telemedicine, and they saved it on Google Photos. They texted it to the doctor. They got whatever they needed to treat it. But 2 hours later, Mark got a notification and that just locked him out of all of his Google accounts. So it was everything from Google Photos to Google Mail to his to even his cellular service. He was using Google Fi cellular service, right? So now he's locked out of his bank accounts. He doesn't have a phone number to receive texts. And to add on top of that, he was automatically reported to the National Centers for Missing and Exploited Children for the photo, right? It automatically reported him there, and it reported him to the police, which...
Wow. Man, that's... Yeah. What I find very intriguing when you hear stories like this is they always manage to pin some innocent person. Meanwhile, child trafficking is prolific. There's all this... I mean... online pornography is like in 80% of the online industry, and all of these people are doing nefarious things on social media platforms, mm-hmm. trafficking and exploiting people. But then here you have a family that's trying to take care of their kid. And just because of some technocratic fly trap using AI or whatever, and they supposedly detect this photo, and they don't have enough common sense to create any context. And then, of course, the immediate knee-jerk reaction is to completely and utterly and overreact to the point where it damages them financially, it damages them physically, it destroys the family and the infrastructure. Oh, we have to take your child away so that we can make sure that you're a good person and all this stuff. And then, hey, if you're not doing anything wrong, and this is the biggest talking point, if you're not doing anything wrong, what do you have to be worried about? Then these are the kind of things that you have to be worried about. Here, you're trying to help your child. You're going through the proper modes and methods that are currently available, and boom, they just hit you over the head with it.
Absolutely. Right. And at a certain point, it's like, it's not if I'm doing anything wrong, it's more like y'all are the ones that are overstepping your bounds, surveilling everyone. It's highly invasive. Like you said, protecting people who are abusive to children, which is like, it's well been proven that the major centers for this abusive material are on the major platforms like Gmail, Instagram. It's all on their platforms. And so they're very quick to police others, but not to themselves. And the government agencies that are responsible to investigate this, which I want to say, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, all of those reports should be reviewed. I'm forgetting the name of the agency that reviews them, but it's viewed at the state, it's viewed at the federal level, and it's also viewed at the international level. And if you look at the amount of cases that they're actually reviewing, it's a fraction. Making any action on. It's much less investigating, but like leaving a comment on or viewing is a fraction of the percent. So meanwhile, they through laws like chat control, earn it in the United States, these are bills that they want to enforce anyone who has a website, that's me and you, anyone who has a website to scan people's uploads with AI. What are they going to do with all this data? Because they're definitely not protecting anyone right now.
Right. And it's really about housing this data to even recreate a narrative in the future, using deep fake and other type of visual AI to fabricate. I mean, they're going to have enough data that they can literally make the data say whatever they need it to say to fit their agenda.
Absolutely, man. And this data, especially the location data, that is really scary. Actually, I want to add in a little point because I'm interested. I was listening to a few of your videos, and I was interested in what you thought about the draft bill that is now automatically registering young men for selective service.
You know, I've always said my sons will not fight in a banker's war, and neither will my daughter, obviously. It's an atrocity, and this is where it really reveals this whole entire fake left-right paradigm when it comes to the beast system and the Republicans and the Democrats and all this stuff, because there used to be this supposed anti-war movement, and now it's just pro-war, pro-bomb, fund it. You know, we'll all starve to death and your great, great, great grandchildren will be trillions of dollars in debt, but let's spread freedom and help, you know, Ukraine be free and they can all have automatic weapons to, you know, fight for freedom. And then it's the same thing that's going on in the UN nation state of Israel. Yeah. Like, yeah, Palestinians are just fodder for the war machine. And this new draft thing. Well, I mean, they're telling you that wars will continue into infinitum, and they need bodies to, you know, to absorb bullets or whatever, and to, so that all these defense contractors can have all these contracts. Well, we need to, you know, all these people need to have guns. even though, you know, you can't have a gun to defend yourself, but you can have an automatic weapon to go fight a banker door. There's so much cognitive dissonance, and it's so unreal, and why there isn't more outrage and more people kind of resisting the machine and resisting the beast is kind of fascinating, because people are lulled into a false sense of security. That is for sure.
Larkin Rose, if you've heard of him, he made a good video on this, and it really resonated me. I thought it would resonate with you too. Is like, I'm going to paraphrase what he said, but he basically said, if someone tries to come for your kids to try and make them fight a war that's not their responsibility, it's a moral obligation to take them out and to fight back. That's the line right there. And I watch. Have you seen any of those videos in Ukraine where like the guys are dressing up like girls to escape like the military recruiters?
No, I haven't seen that. I know for a fact that they're running out of military age men. And I mean, where is the outrage? And all these politicians are like, well, how many casualties had there been? Oh, I don't know, but let's send them another $81 billion. You know what I mean? And it literally shows that they have all this lip service, but the agenda is democide and the military industrial complex to just have a growing profit margin. These are the motivating factors. And even more with this whole draft thing, they clearly do not care about human life explicitly. They actually have a disdain for human life. And if they can virtue signal their way to generate more revenue and make the printing press print faster, and that way they can pay off all their cronies to continue to aggrandize themselves, that's what they're going to do, you know? And it's just unbelievable.
As this is where it stops, I hope, as Larkin said too, like, I hope they're not so stupid that they start another draft, because that's the end. And this is like, some of the videos that are coming out of Ukraine there. I mean, it's sad. It's very sad and comical. I'll share some channels with you later. But people are, you know, dressing up in wigs and stuff, so they're not recognized, because people are just getting yanked off the streets by military recruiters and vans. There's this really crazy video of like they went to like a Hare Krishna temple, so like Hindu monks, they took them, they forcibly conscripted them. So it's like, it's wild. And you know, so you put in a bloodthirsty like military or government arm that's supposed to recruit for this war, and you combine it with technology like this. This is Sensor Vault. This is one of Google's location databases where both like anyone who's used Google Maps or a Google phone is going to be on this database. And what it allows police and law enforcement to do is they just pick a date and time, and they draw a circle on the map, and they can see what phones show up in that area. And so in this case, they picked up an innocent person, this guy named Jorge Molina from Arizona, and they put him in jail for about a week for attempted murder, or for a murder. And it turns out he had an alibi, and that was present on day two, but they kept him in jail for an entire week. And he lost his girlfriend, he got kicked out of school, he lost his job. All this terrible stuff happened simply because investigators were going with the data. They're like, oh, it's in the Google database, it must be correct. They never stopped to think that, you know, this data is fallible, which it is. In this case, someone borrowed Jorge's phone and was at the scene of the murder. So it's pretty crazy to see that this technology is rolled out. This technology is widespread. Now Google has said they don't track your location by default anymore. But again, this is just, you know, this is a database that places like the New York Times like reported about. It was reported to U.S. Congress, and they didn't know about it then. There's no telling how many different secret databases there are. There's already been so many that have come up to the surface. And so my warning to people is that, you know, if you're using these big tech technology ecosystems and then more tyrannical stuff begins happening, you're easily within arm's reach of this beast.
And, you know, that's the reason for all of this legislation and all these laws is we are all breaking probably 1,000 or more laws per day. And the only time it becomes relative is when they want to stuff you in a cage, you know, and here you have an innocent guy and they're trusting the science, you know, well, the AI and the algorithm fingered this guy. So obviously he's the guy. And, you know, and once again, there's all of this infrastructure, there's all of this money, there's all of these technocratic smart people and all this scientism and see, and this is going to help us keep you safe. And here this guy gets wrongfully accused, wrongfully imprisoned, suffers substantially for it. And then always it's like, Oh yeah. Well, the AI was just wrong, you know, and this is the same AI they want to use to drone bomb all of us. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, oh yeah, we can use facial recognition and then the AI can select its targets this way. You know, our hands are clean, you know, I didn't do it. And then, you know, if you blew up too many of the wrong people, oh, well, you know, it was a programming error.
Bug.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's a bug and we're the bugs, you know.
Dang, man. I never thought about it like that. But yeah, you're right. It gives them that deniability. That's super scary. Yeah. All right. So check this out. So this happened in 2021 in Massachusetts. And essentially what happened is there was some backroom deal between the Massachusetts Department of Public Health and Google that they automatically deployed a contact tracing app on people's phones. At least 1 million people. My estimate is that it was probably a few million. But they were able to target everyone in the state and install this app that couldn't be uninstalled. People couldn't even find it in the place where they normally had apps, and no one was told about it. So they have that kind of power over normal phones. And in this case, I think they were trying to pump up usage of their, they called it mass notify. It's like one of the new age contact tracing apps that is supposed to, it turns on Bluetooth. So Bluetooth was turned on automatically for all these people who were the victim of this. And it starts pinging people that are nearby to try and tell how far they are away.
Distancing. Yeah.
Absolutely insane. And it doesn't work scientifically. It's shown like it doesn't, you can't actually do that to judge how close people are, but that doesn't stop them from trying. And so Google and Apple collaborated on this, and our country has spent hundreds of millions of dollars, like 40 out of 50 states had a contact tracing app. So yeah, it's just crazy that this is what Google and Apple can do.
Yeah. And what's more fascinating about these apps, right? You don't write these apps overnight, right? These things take millions of dollars. Most of the time it takes lots of testing. Usually it takes several years, but when the right crisis comes along, abracadabra, magically, oh, don't worry. We have an app for that. And it's a Bluetooth and it's going to be able to predict how close people are together. And it's like, poof. And we can force it into an operating system and have these major capitalistic free market companies, you know, they'll distribute it for us free of charge. It's
they're so well positioned, and you know, they're so fast, like Pfizer, you know, oh, COVID-19. Yeah. Oh, you got a vaccine in a few days, no problem.
Yep, really exactly. All right. So we've looked at the issues and the problems and then even the potential. And I think one interesting thing at looking at the vulnerabilities and the issues, I think it understates or maybe even overstates moving forward how these vulnerabilities are just going to exponentially expand moving forward with the scientism and the technocracy and the bureaucracy and the deep state and the military industrial complex and all these things, that these issues are just going to continue to compound. They're going to get more invasive. They're going to become more automatic and autocratic and instant. And you know, you'll get an email. Oh, sorry. You know, interesting story, YouTube story. So, you know, we've been flagged, I don't know, 8 or 9 or 10 times now, and we almost got vaporized. And so recently, the boys did a funny short involving a spider, and it was up and it was performing very well, and it got taken down, and it said, animal abuse. Taken down for animal abuse, right? And then, and I was on an airplane at the time. I didn't even get to see it. And then, so you get to, with YouTube, you get to go to 1984 programming school, where if you're a bad worker bee cog, you know, you can get reeducated so that they'll take your bad check mark away and fix your social credit score. So I'm like, what, you know, what was this video? It was a short, and the boys, they're working a job. They saw a spider and they squished the spider, and that was animal abuse. And I'm like, a spider isn't an animal. Okay. It's an insect. And it's just fascinating because this is all part of the propaganda, the redefining of words. Like, this is the fruition of postmodernism, is just everything can be completely redefined. We'll use the same words, but we'll just change all the definitions. And squashing a spider is like animal abuse. Meanwhile, like we were saying earlier, with child trafficking and all these like rampant, just horrendous abusive things that are taking place on all these exact same platforms. But if you squash a spider, you know, it is like, you know, you're just not a good enough, you shouldn't exist in society. You know, you just need to learn. And this is the kind of stuff that's going on. This is where we're at.
Yeah. I mean, a big shout out to you for surviving on YouTube this long. And yeah, man, it is challenging out there, because on one hand, you need the people we need to reach are on these platforms. On the other hand, they're complete. They're complete authoritarians, man. That's crazy. Just squishing the spider.
So, Hakeem, what kind of solutions are you bringing to the table to help us, Bob and we, maybe do some status jujitsu or what have you? How can we use these incredibly powerful tools? You know, there's a lot of people, right? I want to be a homesteader and I want to be off grid, and I'm going to use all this Amish stuff, you know, and horse-drawn tillers and all this stuff. And we have horses, and I totally appreciate it. The thing is like, while gasoline is still readily available, the exponential amount of work that you'll be able to get done with that gas-drawn tractor or whatever is a factor of 1,000 versus what you can do without that technology, you know? And that's what I think, it's neat what you're doing in the technology space, because look, there's a lot of this stuff can be greatly abused and distorted and used for evil, but this same exact technology can be very helpful. It can be a force multiplier. It can allow you to accomplish much more, which is why I think it's so important. And especially for us that are still in the workforce and are, you know, we need to use specific applications for our occupation, or maybe even for communication or broader communication. This is why solutions are important. It's not, you know, we can't all just be like Ted Kaczynski and move into a cabin in the woods. You know what I mean? And, you know, we want to be able to function. And for that matter, you know, you just mentioned, you know, congratulations for still being on YouTube. That's why I kind of refused to leave. Like, I knew when we started the channel and the boys were young, I'm like, you know, this is in Qtel. You know, this whole backbone of this thing is just it's an arm of the deep state, and it's just a matter of time before they do pull the plug on all of us, which is all so much the more why we're going to stay until they do vaporize us, because it's just because of the point of you're not going to push us out.
Yeah. Cause we can, and we're going to keep fighting for our last breath. Yeah. I mean, I've been thinking about making a YouTube channel and seeing how long I can totally rip on them on their own channel. Yeah. It's like, no, but that is a good fight, man. And I hope we have some solutions that will at least help people out who are ready to pull their data, to pull their info outside of the systems, but don't want to give it up completely. Like, YouTube being an evil company and all, with bad origins and has like a monopoly on the video market, it still is the major place to watch videos. You still want to be able to watch videos. You don't want to be cut off of that. And so what I love about our project, which is called Above Phone, is it gives you the freedom to choose at which level you're at. Some people want to get rid of big tech altogether. They never want to touch it. Well, this phone can do that for them because there's no connections to big tech out of the box. So it's not connecting to Google. It's not connecting to Apple. It has its own internal systems that it uses. It has private ways to access GPS. It has private ways to look up the time for your location, which is pretty awesome. These are normally things that would be done by Google. So it cuts Google out of the equation, and it still allows you to do the different things that you love. I've actually got a demo of the phone if you want to bring it on screen, and I can show you a few different things. So this is the phone. You can kind of see if you've ever used Android before, it looks and feels a little bit like Android. That's because it is. It's using the open source foundation of Android and then stripped out all of the different Google bits, the centralized services that are tracking everything from your location to what you're texting people to your phone number, all of that. It removes that layer. And it also adds a lot of improved security features on the phone itself. So it's not so different from a normal phone. You just have different ways of doing things, right? Go ahead.
Now, so, you know, my big thing is with my phone, I have accumulated all of these contacts. I mean, to the point where I almost don't even know how many contacts. A lot of these are business contacts and relationships. And, you know how Apple works. That's all tied to your Apple ID. So in the case that, technically, if something happens and they freeze me out of my account, I literally lose all of those contacts. Is there a way to migrate over my contacts to this platform?
Most definitely. And I'm really glad you brought that up because I'm sure a lot of people are in your situation. And I never thought about it. But yeah, I'm sure you could be locked out of your contacts the same way Greg Frasca was. And so this is how you do this. I'll just give you the instructions if you want to do this on your own. And I will say, if you end up purchasing the phone with us, we will sit down and call with you. Every phone comes with a free 45-minute call where we walk you through this exact scenario if you're using an iPhone. So you can go to, you want to go on your computer to iCloud.com. You would log in there, and then you can go to like the little contacts app. And then you can select all of them. You have to kind of go in the menu. They don't make it as easy as they should, but you can select all of them and then export that to a vCard file. And that vCard file, you just get that on your phone. So I'll show you what that, when you import it into your phone, which by the way, we have guides for all of this. It comes out looking something like this, right? Mm-hmm. And these are contacts that just exist on the Above phone. They're not sent anywhere. There's no cloud service. And you can use it just like you would a normal phone, right? So let's say I wanted to call one of these people. This is a fake person. So if I just want to call him, I could do that from here.
And so once you migrate it to this phone, then can you have that contact list kind of autonomously stored so that you can access it? Obviously, it'll be accessible on the phone. But it would also, you'd be able to store it like on a backup data drive, or something like that.
Yeah, most definitely. You can store it on a USB, and we also have a contact service as part of our suite, which I'll just show you. I'll show you here if I can. So we noticed one thing is so these are called de-Googled phones. You could even create one of these de-Googled phones at home yourself. You can install the necessary software, but there's a big missing piece to it, and that is the software services that you'll actually use on the phone. So I'll just show you, if I can, our calendar service. This is what the calendar service looks like. And this is where you'd be able to put your contacts, and it would automatically read from your contacts and sync it to our calendar service. So we also recently launched a privacy laptops. We haven't been focusing on contacts, but we have been focusing on calendar and email, and all of it is integrated between your phone and the laptop. So we are trying to, you know, we're going to go up against Google and Apple and trying to replace their services. But the difference is that all of our software is open source. There's no tracking on third parties. There's no third parties involved in anything that we're doing. We own our own data center, and so we're running it all from there. And it's like you want that complete loop for yourself and a smaller company that you can actually trust versus Google and Apple.
And then you were telling me how like in my instance where I have these like mainstream apps that I need to use for work, like you can actually create different profiles on the phone itself to function kind of like as a standalone. So when you need to use these apps for work or whatever, you can select a particular profile. And then when you want to kind of go dark or you want some privacy, and the way that I understood that you explained it, like though, even those apps are kind of like held in isolation, so they're not allowed to extract like metadata while you're using them.
Yeah, absolutely. You can greatly protect your permissions here. I'm just going to get this connected to the internet. I'm just going to remove it really quick. But like you said, yeah, you have way more control over the permissions these applications have. You have more control than you would have on a normal device. Because on a normal device, you give your microphone permission to the app. You also give it to all of the different third parties inside the application. And there's actually a lot of different third parties. On average, there are 5 different parties inside a, I think you can add it back on now.
Okay.
There are 5 different parties inside of a normal app on the Google Play Store. And there are 3 unknown domains that, on the Apple App Store that apps typically connect to on average. So when you give a permission to an application, like what other organizations are you giving it to? So you have far more control on this phone. And I'm going to go back and respond to your first question is like, am I still going to be able to use the apps I want to use or I'm used to? Yes, you can. This is an application called Aurora Store. It's made by my friend Rahul in India, who's doing a great service for the world by creating this application and infrastructure that allows you to download apps from the Google Play Store completely privately. So while we have that loaded, I'll give you an example you can Instagram will work, TikTok will work. I know that's crazy. You're like, but what about the privacy, security, and freedom? Yes to all of that, but it's also your freedom to use this stuff if you want to use it. And frankly, it's an information war, and all of these apps are going to contribute to the information war in one way or another. I'll show you a good example of what I was talking about with the tracker. So like, why should I really care about my apps? Well, if you don't pay attention, you can get totally owned by the amount of data that these apps are picking up. And this connection is a little slow right now because I'm off of another phone's hotspot in order to show you this live. It's sure. Much faster in person. Just wanted to say that. Now check this out. We can, on a normal phone, you wouldn't be able to see this, but I can scroll down here and I can actually look at the nutrition facts of the phone and see what other companies are involved.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Check that out.
Yeah. It's pretty cool, right? So we've got Google, Facebook, Branch, Adobe, And so these are like all the different companies that have the same amount of permissions as a normal app. So what can we do in this case? Well, one, screw Adobe anyways. They just got sued by the US government for their abusive subscription practices. So karma's karma sucks. Secondly,
one of those companies was literally called Open Tracing.
Oh yeah, I didn't notice that. Yeah,
yeah, Open Tracing. Unreal.
No kidding. Open, yeah, yeah. Open Telemetry, Open Census, Open Tracing. Yeah. So it's companies like this that are they call them data brokers, and data brokers will are responsible for getting like the metadata off the phone. So for instance, like a Bible apps will have this where they're able to pull demographic data off of their phone. They sell that data to aggregators, which take like a huge list of them and be like, okay, here are all the Christians living in these states. Wow. And then they package that up and then they sell it to governments or not like nonprofits. They want to get more information. All right, where should we target with our voting campaigns and stuff like that? I only know this because there was a Quran apps used against Muslims to target Muslims. And so I'm just using that as an example. But yeah, they will constantly get really specific app information from these data brokers. Now, so how do you actually protect yourself? So let's go to, let me see if I have an example. I might need to switch over to, I'll just show you right here. So Telegram is an example of this is an application. It's a social media. So you're having to trust Telegram. I'm not advocating for Telegram more than any others, but I will say that Telegram let a lot of the freedom groups, let a lot of the health, freedom, and choice groups persist and do their thing even to this day. So if I'm using Telegram, I can block different things. I can cut it off from the internet entirely, which if you know you're using an internet enabled application, you wouldn't want to do that. But I mean, you know, you work in construction, some of like the mapping and geospatial stuff, like the calculators, that doesn't need to be online, right? So
yeah, exactly.
You can make intelligent choices like that. And then you can also do things like this. This is really cool. Like an application like WhatsApp, if you've used WhatsApp before. Yeah. If you use WhatsApp before here, let me see. There we go. A little slow to load. All right. So if you're using WhatsApp, what you can do is you can set up contact scopes. So instead of on a normal phone, when an app asks for your contact, you give them all of your contacts. So like, you know, you mentioned you probably have several thousand contacts. Like you just hand over all of them at one time. Or what you can do is I'm only going to be talking to George Walker and Robert and Frank Singer on this app. Those are the only ones I choose to share. And I literally trick the app into thinking it has all my contacts and actually only has two. Huh. So that's some of the things you can do in this phone that you can't do on a normal phone.
Very cool.
You can do the same thing for photos and videos too with these storage scopes. So, you know, I can say, hey, I only want you to have access to this folder and you're not getting access to anything else. So you can feel safer and better about that. You do have to take more responsibility and kind of cultivate your phone. But as you can see, it's pretty easy to use. If you get your Above phone through us, we've got guides, we've got videos, and we've also got that one-on-one call. If you're interested in just learning more about the software, this operating system is called Graphene OS, and you can learn more about it at grapheneos.org. That's the we have a special image of Graphene OS. That's what we have on these phones. And then we also run the software services that make your life a lot easier. So I think you're going to have the link to our site in the description, right?
Yes. So we have an affiliate link. Because y'all are affiliates of ours now. So we'll have an affiliate link and then we'll have, all your contact info, in the show notes.
Awesome. And I'll make sure to send you a discount code for people. So if they want to take advantage of the discount, they can. Yeah.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah, y'all. So this is, incredibly timely information, incredibly important. This is very powerful. This is a way that you can continue to function, especially if you're a professional or whatever, and you're not ready to go full blown off grid and unplug from the matrix and, you know, just eat, I don't know, you know, all of your organic, you know, just to be totally self-sufficient and to kiss society goodbye and, you know, become like Ted Kaczynski or whatever. But if you are, you know, still want to be involved with your community and you want to be able to use these powerful tools that are going to help you do more and accomplish more, Above Phone is an absolute solution. And this is a local company that's based in the United States, and it's run by freedom-minded folks that care about your family, and they do not want a technocratic oligarchy like ruling over us and clubbing us over the head with our own data. And because we check the terms of service box, well, you agreed to all this, you idiot, you know what I mean? And this is a way to circumvent that, and while supporting great people at the same time, and then protecting your own data, regaining your privacy, and proactively. Yeah. Okay. So you're going to have to manage some of your stuff. Well, when you, it's just like outsourcing your health, you know, like, oh, well, I'm going to trust this person and I'm going to ask them what I should eat, you know, or it's like, well, I'm going to trust the World Health Organization and whatever they recommend for me with, you know, different things that I put into my body, I'm going to outsource that responsibility to them. Well, that doesn't end well. So it's the same thing with your privacy. It's the same thing with, you have to take the solution has to be personal responsibility. You have to take personal responsibility to have the autonomy that you want. And that will require maybe a little bit of work, a little bit of education, and a little bit of time, but down the road, you will be incredibly thankful. You know, it was 10 years ago. 10 years ago, we were living in the Northeast and we didn't like the way a lot of things were going down. And you know what? We said, you know what? We're not going to live here anymore. We're going to move, right? And it was very extreme. And we left everything and we moved 2,000 miles to a place we had never been to and we didn't know absolutely anyone. And I cannot express what an incredibly awesome idea that was, and that we acted upon it and we did it. We didn't wait 10 years. There was so many, when we moved, there was friends of ours, you know, yeah, I want to do that too. 10 years ago, 10 years ago, a couple that's a friends of ours say, yeah, you know what? We want to move too. 10 years ago, they still live in the same exact home 10 years later. And lots of things have happened in the last 10 years. And I'm very thankful that my geographical location is where it is. And we have benefited from that exponentially, health-wise, mentality-wise, financially. We have benefited in every aspect of our life for making that radical decision, taking personal responsibility, sacrificing quite a bit, and just stepping out on faith and just, you know, doing what we had to do, what we thought was the right thing. And you look back 10 years later and you just feel vindicated and validated, like, yeah, this was a really good decision we made. I'm glad we made it. And, you know, that's the same thing now, because they're rocking us to sleep with the technology. And you're like, is it really that bad? Is it that intrusive? And it really is, honestly. And that's why we have to be proactive with it. And, you know, the links will be down below to check that out. Hakeem, in closing, is there anything you want to leave us with?
Yes, brother. Well, I just want to say thank you for having me on. And it's just super inspiring to hear that story, because that's really what it's all about. You're investing in your future, right? TD and his family started 10 years ago, and look how well prepared they are now. They got the steaks, they got the coffee, they got all this sort of stuff. With this phone, you start the day, you'll get that protection and you'll know how to use it moving forward. So it's an investment in yourself, and I promise you it's easy to use. It also works with any cellular service, so it doesn't matter what cellular service you have. You can use it on a Above Phone. We'll help you transfer it over. It's a really easy process. And it also works with most apps that I showed you just how to download. So if you have any questions, just use the link in the description below and you'll see a little chat button that goes to myself and it goes to our team. And we're happy to answer any special questions that you might have. And we look forward to supporting you. We look forward to empowering you with this technology. We know you'll get it. And here's to using this technology to creating better communities around the world.
Thanks so much, Keem, man. Appreciate your time. Appreciate the discount code. And all y'all remember, stay fearless, my friends.